Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everyone, a quick introduction to today's episode. I'm so excited to have my guest Scott Baptie on. Scott is a sports nutritionist and the director and founder of Food for Fitness in the UK, and he's also featured on the cover of men's fitness magazines on two separate occasions. In today's episode, we talk about Scott's journey from cover model to business owner and all the nutrition and supplement myths that are in the fitness industry at the moment. Scott is an expert in nutrition and his take on how branched-chain amino acids actually don't do anything for the body and how CLA only works for fat loss if you're a rat is worth listening to alone. I know I got loads of value from this episode, and Scott's theories on nutrition and recipes and how it should fit into your lifestyle and how you should make sure that your nutrition fits into your schedule and uses foods that you enjoy is very much overlapped with my theory. So it was great to hear his take on it. And some of our opposing views on supplements too are definitely worth a listen. So a massive thank you for Scott for coming on. I'm looking forward to reading the reports that he sends over to me. I hope you guys get loads of value from this episode. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. I'm so excited today to have my guest on, Scott Baptie, who is a coach, speaker, writer, fitness model, and founder of Food for Fitness, which provides people with all different shapes, sizes, and abilities with an evidence-based approach to helping people move, look, feel, and perform better. Scott completed a postgraduate degree in applied sports nutrition at St. Mary's University and is featured on the cover of Men's Fitness on two separate occasions. He's also the presenter of the Food for Fitness podcast, which I think everybody should check out. Welcome to the podcast, Scott.
Wow, what an intro. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Scott, is there anything that I missed there? I could go on and on about the things that you've done. Is there anything else there that my audience think that I've missed out that they think you should know about?
I think that sums it up pretty well. If for those who appreciate people being in good shape as an indicator of their knowledge, then you mentioned the cover, appreciate that. And I did a natural bodybuilding show as well. I've done a bit of everything.
Awesome. I'll have spoken in the intro about how I came on to you with 5 years ago when you got the cover of Men's Fitness, and I've been following you ever since. Awesome physique, guys. I'll be putting up photos, but definitely check it out. So Scott, tell me, what got you into fitness and nutrition first? What was the whole lead in? What's your background story?
I slightly different from some people on that. I didn't go down the conventional, be a personal trainer, train in gym, set my own business. I actually started out working in project management, which is miles away from fitness. And I always knew that I wanted to get involved in the fitness industry in some respect, but I didn't know what the lead-in was going to be. So I did project management, and Food for Fitness back then was really just a blog. So it was where I was posting workouts and recipes and articles and my thoughts really on fitness. And I didn't sell anything. I did no plans or anything of that sort. And then people started saying, oh, can you do me a meal plan? Can you do me a training plan? Which I did based on just the knowledge I'd picked up from doing it myself and going to the gym and so on. And then that led on to their friends saying, okay, I'll give you 50 quid for a plan, and their friend of a friend wanted a plan. And then I thought, well, there's actually something here. So to cut a long story short, went back to uni, did my master's in sports nutrition, created the business, and now, we've got a team of people. So we're working with, like you said, all different shapes and sizes. But it wasn't the conventional route in. I knew I wanted to get there somehow, but I wasn't sure how. But I'm so glad I did, because I absolutely love it. It's not like a job. When you find this career that you love, it doesn't seem like you're going to work.
Yeah, exactly. It's the best way to wake up every morning. Was that St. Mary's in Strawberry Hill in London?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's where I studied. I did primary school teaching there.
I don't think we overlapped.
Yeah. Deadly. Awesome. So what I talk about a lot on the podcast, and anyone that's listened to this knows, how important it is to kind of get your day started off right. And you're really successful in terms of the way, if you're looking at it, the way you look, the way you run your business, the way you live your life in general, with all the things that you do. What does the first hour and a half of your day look like, Scott?
Now, I know the importance of a morning routine, and I spoke to lots of people that have the morning, like Robin Sharma does his 20-20-20 and the 5-minute flow in the morning and so on. I know all the success, but I don't actually have a set routine in the morning. I'm not trying to rebel against it and say, well, you don't need it. It's simply just, I don't have a set plan. I mean, it can be quite varied. We've got a dog, so sometimes I walk the dog in the morning, sometimes I don't. If I'm working with a corporate client, sometimes I'm going straight there. Other days I'm sitting at my desk. I don't actually have a set routine, so I know that's a bit of a bummer on the question. But yeah.
What time do you get up? Are you a morning person, Scott?
I am seasonal. And now it's getting lighter, I'm waking up earlier. But yeah, I don't get up crazy early, just like 7 in the morning. And then I go down, yeah, have breakfast, and then just see where my day takes me. I've got my whiteboard, I've got the things I want to do that day. But yeah, my days are quite different. And one thing that I do, and it's not a morning routine, but I try and batch my tasks. I have sort of three different types of days. I've got what's called your focus days, which are 3 days a week. And that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's my really productive days when I'm working on, important tasks related to the business. So working, creating programs or doing business development calls and all this kind of stuff happens Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. A Thursday, that's what we call a buffer day. So it's used to plan the focus days, and I use that to tie up some loose ends and maybe do some Facebook scheduling and lighter jobs and record podcasts and things. So things that are related to the business, but they're not core money-making ones. And then a Friday, Saturday, Sunday are free days.
Nice. When do you train then? Do you train in the evenings or train in the mornings?
It just depends. I'm actually training a lot less than I used to in terms of weight training. I'm doing... started playing volleyball again at the end of last year, which came completely out of the blue. Had no plans to return to playing volleyball. I used to play at school, and now I'm doing that sort of 3-4 times a week, playing local league, about to start doing some national league stuff. So that's kind of gone from nowhere. So weight training's generally about 2 times a week, so a lot less than I did before, which is... I'm not as strong, but I'm staying quite lean because, again, I'm doing a lot more cardio than I did. Got the dog, so I'm out walking with that. I do 10,000 steps every day on the Fitbit. It's a religious thing. It's about 2 to 3 times a week for weights.
Awesome. All right, so one of the things that I talk about a lot on the podcast is different books that I read. That I love the quote that smart people learn from their mistakes, really smart people learn from other people's mistakes. And I tend to find that books and reading tends to really help that, or consuming information in some way. Is there anything that you recommend that everybody should read, whether it's a nutrition book, a fitness book, a mindset book, a business book, anything that you think that anybody on the planet would benefit from reading?
I really like, I mentioned Robin Sharma there on the morning routine. I really like his book, The Greatness Guide, just because it's short, snappy chapters and you kind of get a feel good. I like his stuff. Some people think it's a bit over the top and it's a bit too, yeah, you can do it, but I quite like it. The Greatness Guide by Robin Sharma, I really enjoy that one. In terms of a nutrition book, then when people say what's a good one to just increase their knowledge, I recommend a book called The Complete Guide to Nutrition for Sports Performance. And then if they want something a bit more academic, if they've got a bit more of an understanding already of the core nutrition fitness topics, then look at The Clinical Guide to Sports Nutrition. They're probably the three ones that I, obviously Clinical Guide to Sports Nutrition isn't for everyone on the planet, but yeah, for your listeners, you're like, I want to read something that'll make me more aware of what I'm eating, then that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I love that sports nutrition book, and Robin Sharma is amazing. I actually trained with Robin when he was in Dublin for the Pendulum Summit.
Nice.
We did a training session together. The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari is one of my favorite books. Absolutely incredible. Okay, so Scott, somebody that I feel like you're, from everything you've achieved, that you're so much older because of the covers,
the gray hair.
And it's not, because you actually look as young as you did when you did the cover 5 years ago. But for someone that's been as successful as you have in terms of business and life and getting yourself into shape and everything that you've done, is there any advice that you'd give your 20-year-old self or your younger self in terms of how to achieve what you've achieved in your life? Things that you, if you could go back, what would you tell your younger self?
Be more critical. Question more things. I think if we look at this from a physique perspective first, and then we can look at it from a business side. From a physique perspective, someone's, yeah, like we joked at the start, someone's physique isn't indicative of their knowledge level. So I think when I started out, I just followed blindly what I heard about bodybuilders doing, what the big dudes in the gym, because I'm like, right, I'm trying to put on muscle, they're jacked, they, whatever they say must be gospel, must be right. Now that's not to discredit experience and size. They obviously know what they're doing, but it's to, if somebody says something, I mean, you probably did the same. We fell for all the old myths of, oh, okay, we've got to eat six meals a day to boost our metabolism. And, oh, we've got to consume protein instantly after a workout. And, you know, just nonsense like this that you just follow because it's gym lore. And just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean it's right. So I always tell people, whatever you're doing with your nutrition or your training, make sure you actually know why you're doing it and not just because you think that's the right thing or because somebody said you should. So try and, you know, I'm not saying necessarily go and get all the strength conditioning journals and start plowing into that, but use good websites like examine.com if it's about supplementation. So when somebody says, what do you think of this supplement? I say, go on examine.com, search for it there, and you'll get all the research behind it. So yeah, that's probably the big one is be more critical and questioning and don't just do things because everybody does it.
That's great advice. That's amazing. I got caught up in that same kind of fallacy of, I fell down the supplement route that take mass gainer 10,000 and shredded abs 4 million and you'll get jacked. And I've done episodes on that in the past. So it's great to see that advice coming through from you as well. Okay, Scott, this is a question that's kind of off from what I normally talk just because you're such an expert in nutrition. What do you see as probably the biggest mistakes people are making? I know a lot of people have that listen to my podcast and my audience are big into the nutrition side, and I speak of it regularly because we know you cannot train a bad diet and all of these things that come with it. What are the biggest mistakes you see people making with nutrition that you think could be fixed or that you've worked with people or that you've seen?
Right. A lot. And I do a talk on this called 5 Nutrition Mistakes That Make You Look Like a Bro. So some of them. One would be talking about good and bad foods or clean and dirty foods. So labeling foods is a stupid thing to do because what's clean for you may be dirty for somebody else. Like we talk about all clean food like chicken and beef and so on, but to a vegetarian that's a dirty food. And you know, giving food silly labels just confuses the situation and can also lead to bad associations with food. So if you have a bad food, you then go and feel guilty about it, and it can lead to just this unhealthy and unsustainable relationship with what you're doing. So don't talk about clean and bad food. Sorry, clean and dirty or good and bad foods. The other one is don't exclude anything unless you have a sound reason for doing so. So people say the classic is I'm not eating pasta or bread. Like, well, why? Oh, because it's really bad for you. It's like, well, no, there's nothing wrong with bread and pasta unless you have a gluten intolerance. And yeah, if you do, then obviously cut it out. But for those of us, you can get super lean. I mean, I've prepped people for photo shoots and so on and got them really lean and they were consuming, you know, heaps of pasta and just normal carbs rather than just the standard of chicken, broccoli and brown rice is stereotypical bodybuilding fare. There's a lot more food to it than that. Another mistake I think is messing up macros in the sense that we often go, or in the fitness community, people are very inclined to go super high on protein, more than is actually necessary, and at the expense of their overall carbohydrate intake. So because they're going so high on protein, they're consuming a lot of calories from protein, they don't have that much left for carbohydrates. So they find that training intensity decreases, they start to look a little bit flat, they start more and more cravings come in if they're on this very low-carb diet. So for protein intake, I mean, normally I set people around about 2 grams per kilo, increase that as they get leaner. And if somebody is super lean, then maybe we're at the top ends of like 2.5 to 3 grams per kilo. But that's like, you know, somebody who's about to do a show type lean. For most people, 2 grams seems to be about the sweet spot. Other mistakes, yeah, heavy reliance on supplements that have very little impact on the physique, if any. So the top waste of time supplements I talk about, BCAAs, which are hugely popular, but if you look at the research in BCAAs, then protein intake hasn't been controlled. So things like, yeah, they help minimize loss of lean mass and increase strength and so on. It's in people with very low protein intakes. So if you were to give someone BCAAs on top of the existing high protein intake, it's unlikely that they're going to make any difference. So that's probably the main one. So if anybody listens to that, is slam the BCAAs. If you're consuming enough protein, then I can save you a few quid. Finish your tub. You don't need to get one. Other supplements under that category, glutamine as well. People take that under the illusion that it's going to increase muscle size and improve strength. Again, if you look at the studies, this doesn't happen. It's not anti-catabolic unless it's in extreme circumstances. So people have been hospitalized due to muscle wastage diseases, then glutamine may be effective. But for us training in the gym, the damage that we're putting on our muscles, glutamine is not going to make pretty much any difference. CLA is another one. CLA is effective for fat loss if you're a rat. but in humans, it's very ineffective. In terms of, that's it. But they would be my top three. Talking about good and bad food, messing up your macros, and over-reliance on supplements.
Hey everyone, this is Brian from the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. I just want to take a quick 90 seconds to thank you all for downloading the podcast and tell you about my 6-week top 50 online program. It still blows my mind to see the thousands of downloads every week, so thank you all so much. What if I told you you could lose body fat, build muscle, or tone up all without putting your life on hold? One of the things that irks me in fitness is people saying that you need to train for an hour and a half every day or do loads of cardio to get in good shape, or silly things like you need to avoid putting milk in your coffee or completely eliminate alcohol or else you're going to get fat. The truth is, you can get into incredible shape by eating certain foods, timing your meals properly, and following a training program that is in exact alignment with your specific goals. And you can do this without putting your life on hold. The right program should fit into your lifestyle and schedule and not the other way around. Whether you're a guy or a girl, think about how good it would feel losing body fat and building muscle or toning up, all because you have the right systems in place. You didn't have to starve yourself, you didn't have to spend hours and hours in the gym, or even try and piece together different workouts and nutrition plans together yourself in the hope that they worked. With my top 50 program, you'll have a full blueprint on how to best time your meals, what foods to eat, all your macro calculations, and different recipes to help keep you on track. My philosophy on nutrition is to help you find the strategies, foods, and systems that work best for your lifestyle and goal, so your diet just becomes the way you eat and not a diet you're following. Also, have you ever found yourself thinking, am I doing this exercise right? Or is this the best way to lose fat, tone up, or build muscle? I remember that feeling too well. Imagine the peace of mind knowing exactly how to do every exercise at home or in the gym, and knowing that your training program is in exact alignment with your specific goals, and seeing your body composition change as a result. Everyone has different nutritional preferences, lifestyles, and schedules, and my Top 50 program is the only program where I work with each person through the Top 50 Facebook group. Here I do weekly Q&As with everyone in the program, and this is where we can tweak and adapt training and nutrition to make the program perfect for you. Not only that, but you'll also have one of my online coaches working with you Monday to Friday to make sure that there's no stone left unturned in getting you into amazing shape. Every program is capped to 50 people, so once the group hits 50 people, it closes until the next round. So for more information or to sign up for the next 6-week Top 50 online program, head over to my website, www.briankeenfitness.com, or email me on brian@briankeenfitness.com, and thanks again for listening.
Awesome. Well, I have to ask the question because I'm personally a massive fan of BCAA, so that's really interesting what you're saying. What are the three supplements that you think do work and that people should use? I know it's goal dependent, but for majority of people that either building muscle, or my word that I hate, toning up or losing body fat, what are the supplements that you do think do work for people?
If any. So yeah, like we said, goal dependent. So if they don't consume a lot of fresh food, if they're a fussy eater, they don't like a lot of veg and so on, then the multivitamin would be the standard. If they don't consume a lot of oily fish, then probably a fish oil. And then if they are physique orientated, so trying to put on a bit of muscle or maintain muscle, then creatine. Creatine is the most researched sports supplement. I think it's on a par with caffeine, but there's over 1,000 peer-reviewed studies done on creatine. And it's got like 9 out of 10 times, you'll see a 10 to 15% performance and benefit, whether that's increased power output, improved strength, increased lean mass and so on. So it's a real, if somebody says I'm trying to get bigger and they're not taking creatine and their diet and training is already on point, they're almost missing a trick there. If they're looking at sports performance from like an endurance point of view, if they're a runner or cyclist, triathlete and so on, then caffeine is again very effective at we know it's a stimulant and it minimizes your perceptions of fatigue. And it's actually glycogen sparing as well. So it actually makes you slightly more effective at using your stored carbohydrate in the body. So they would be the main ones. BCAAs, we can talk more about that, or I can send you some links after. But yeah, the thing with BCAAs is it's like a lot of sports nutrition, or when it's related to physique stuff, if it's not about like public health and obesity management, so things that could affect lots and lots of people, then it's quite hard. From speaking to researchers, they say to actually get the funding needed to look at something that's maybe relevant to a very small population. So like people who care about BCAAs, it's such a small part of the population that they struggle to get funding for it. So it may be more effective, but at the moment, the majority of data there are saying on top of an existing high protein intake, it's not. So your exception could maybe be vegetarians who do struggle consuming a high amount of protein, especially complete protein, then yeah, BCAAs might come in. But then my counter argument would be, rather than taking just three of the amino acids in your BCAAs, just take a whole whey protein concentrate or an isolate, and then you just get a broader spectrum anyway.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. That's something that, yeah, please send me over those links. I'd love to read on that, because it's been one of my favorites, but I'm always, anything that you, as you said, the evidence shows otherwise, I'd love to read more about that.
I actually did my master's thesis on pre-workouts, and BCAAs featured a large part of it. So supplements and pre-workouts is kind of my bag.
Brilliant. Oh, that's amazing. Awesome. Okay, Scott, what I'm going to do now, this is my favorite part, is I've got a couple of rapid-fire questions. So I'm just going to fire them at you, and the first thing that comes to your mind, you can talk on them, go one word, you can expand, you can elaborate, whatever you think is going to work best to support everyone listening. Ready for it? Okay, first one. When you think of the word successful, who's the first person that comes to mind and why?
Richard Branson, because I've read a lot. I mean, money doesn't equate to happiness at all. And you hear about a lot of billionaires who are very unhappy and they're stressed and they're still working long into their life because they just can't find anything to occupy himself. But you look at Branson, he seems to be having, you know, a badass time, chilling on Necker Island, scooting around. I mean, from the public perception, from reading his books and from people that I've met him, he seems like a pretty successful guy that has the, you know, the lifestyle and the relationships with his family and so on. So yeah, he seems pretty successful.
Awesome. What purchase of £100 or less has most positively affected your life in the last 6 months?
Fitbit. For anybody who's listening to it, not watching the video, yeah, Fitbit. Yeah, huge advocate. I mean, I'd love to actually be a Fitbit ambassador. I'm that passionate about it. I think they're so good. And okay, that maybe there are some studies there that are saying, in terms of do they lead to long-term weight loss and so on, it's questionable. But in terms of the positive impact it's had on my life of getting me more active, and the amount of people I've spoken to that said, yes, since having a Fitbit, they're doing so much more exercise. And I think it's the best fitness gadget.
Wow. Okay. I need to get on that, because I was kind of on the fence. But if you're saying
so, was I? Yeah. So was I. Honestly, before I got it, I thought, oh, I do 10,000 steps a day anyway. And then I got it, you know, because I'm like, I've got a dog. Oh, I'll easily do 10,000. Even with a dog, you still do not get 10,000 unless you consciously make an effort. If you sit at a desk, like me most of the day, then yeah, it's much harder than you think. So, you know, Fitbits, love them. Absolutely love them.
Amazing. Right. By the time this goes to air, I'll have a Fitbit. So anyone follow my Snapchat, you'll see me on it. Do you have a quote you live your life by or think of often?
God, we sound like a Robin Sharma fanboy. When he says, change is hard at the beginning, messy in the middle, and glorious at the end. One of the ones that I can remember the most. And they say, success is waking up and doing what you enjoy every day.
Love it. Okay, what is the worst advice you see or hear being dispensed in your world? Kind of, I know we touched on a couple of myths, but what's the one you see that is dispensed the most? Apart from everyone should take BCAAs.
No pain, no gain. That's a pretty stupid one. Any kind of fitness meme related to leg day, clean eating, you know, just all this crap. Like, I hate post leg day memes. Like, you know, the ones. It's ridiculous. Like, if your legs hurt that badly, you're not training legs often enough. So train your legs more often enough so you can actually walk and you're not doing that feel after a leg day. I hate them. things as well saying, like, you know, don't reward yourself with food. You're not a dog is also bullshit, because food is pleasurable. It's sociable. It brings people together. You can enjoy it. And yeah, having food as a reward is fine. As long as you understand, again, you know, what's in it, and you're not saying, oh, I've been to the gym, so I'll eat the cake, and you counteract the calories. But yeah, a lot and Fitspo motivation things as well. I don't really think they're motivating. I don't think anybody's read a graphic on a Monday on Instagram and going, oh yeah, thanks for that. If it wasn't for that graphic, I wasn't going to train this week, or, you know, like Double Tap. So yeah, I'm kind of skeptical with them. But yeah. No, sorry, bit of a rant.
No, anyone listening to this show is well used to my rants on it, and they're very similar. So that's awesome. If you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, what would it say?
Oh, from a business point of view, I just send people on my website. But from a health improvement thing, I just tell them to try and avoid the noise, put something up, or like a running Facebook ad that says, if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah,
and then you can just, that's almost your radar goes up as soon as you read something about juicing or detoxing or some supplements. It says too good to be true, probably is, so you can just skip it.
I love it. That's absolutely amazing. I know a couple of places that would really help. What is something you believe that other people think is insane?
These are hard ones. I normally just give people one like big one at the end of my podcast that catches my. This is a few of them. Right, give me the question again. What's the one big thing that I believe that people think is insane?
What is something you believe that other people think is insane?
So some people in the business community have this idea of, you know, hustling all the time and the grind and, you know, outwork and all this, that you've got to, if you want to be successful, you need to be working more, and it's like a badge of honor to be slaving away. I would like to try and create the life when I almost do as little work as possible for the same rewards, people don't think that's insane, but it goes against what a lot of people are saying. Cause I'm thinking, like, what's the point of having your own business and doing what you love if you have to work in it all the time and you can't do things like go and play golf on a Friday morning or go on holiday whenever you want and so on. So it's maybe not what people think is insane, but it's maybe counterintuitive to a lot of the stuff that you see getting posted about success and business and so on.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. All right, last one that will hopefully not throw you. How has a failure or apparent failure set you up for later success, or do you have a favorite failure of yours?
Favorite failure? It maybe ties into what we talked about earlier. So not necessarily a failure, but yeah, I thought maybe like a dietary fail in that. Yeah, when I started out, the mistakes that we talked about, I've done everything. I did paleo for almost a year, being like, oh no, I can't believe all these people are eating bread and all this. And I think when the penny dropped that this was not backed with sound evidence, I just suddenly just realized it was like a shining light that I'm like, right, what else am I doing that's nonsense, and what other biases do I have, or who else have I been listening to with a loud voice? I've just followed this gospel. So yeah, it ties into that earlier point, but I think, yeah, being that naive person that followed the workouts from the magazines and did everything you read online, like paleo and so on and so forth, made me more critical and questioning, and then that's the kind of thing that I try and help people with, the people who do think that, or they've fallen victim to the noise and the scaremongering that, yeah, they've got to eat six meals a day, and yeah, carbs after six are more fattening, and juice fasts are a good idea. I'm trying to say, look, this is the kind of bad info that I want to help you with. And yeah, it's almost like a quest to rid the fitness community of unscientific pseudoscience nonsense.
Yeah, I've seen it. Like, anyone that hasn't, I'm going to link up your stuff in all the show notes, but anyone that hasn't checked out your stuff for nutrition and losing body fat and getting in shape using real food and keeping your body supplied with nutrients in it that you're supposed to have is your basically your whole meta, which is brilliant. And it's a great thing to see in the fitness industry because there's so much noise of the bro science and the take too much BCAAs and take 1,000 calories and do 6 hours of cardio and you'll get shredded. Yes, you will. If you eat 1,000 calories and you have a couple of juices and you go to and do 2 hours of cardio a day or 5 hours of cardio a day, you will get lean. Like, that will happen. But it's not the most optimal way. Scott, I want to say a massive thank you for getting you on. Is there any ask or request you have for my audience, or where can people find out more about you? I'll be linking everything in the show notes, but where's the best place for people to reach you?
No, well, first off, I really appreciate the platform to come on and speak to a new audience. I really love these kind of talks. Thank you for asking me on. The best place, to be honest, is just to head on to the website, because I'm trying to create a lot of content for people there that they'll find helpful. One of the things that I'm known for, I suppose, over here is doing high protein recipes. So if you are looking for some more inspiration in the kitchen, then there's a ton of recipes on my website. I've got all the macros listed, so you can just plug them into your meal plan and you can get a free recipe ebook there as well. So yeah, that's probably the best place. Just head on to foodforfitness.co.uk and you'll be able to get a ton of stuff on there.
Amazing. I'll have that linked in the show notes for anyone that wants to check that out, and all the social medias will be linked in. Scott, massive thank you again.
Appreciate it. Thanks again for your time.
Hey everyone, as a thank you to everyone who subscribed to my podcast, I'm giving away two free programs every week for the month of April, one for each episode. My two flagship programs are the BTF online program, which is my male and female program that has everything you need to build muscle, lose body fat and tone up. Each version is based on your specific goals. And my GA Lean Body program, which is all the tools you need to get into incredible shape, whether that's to build muscle, tone up or lose body fat while simultaneously improving your performance so you're fitter, faster and stronger on the pitch. For a chance to win whichever program fits your goals best, just subscribe to my podcast and leave an honest review. I'll be picking two winners every week. Winners will be announced on my Snapchat, BrianK019. So be sure to follow me on there to see if you've won. I'm picking the winners from random reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. So thanks again for downloading and subscribing, and best of luck to everyone.